Can anyone remember how to explain om and money?
Is it that life is perfect?
Oh, okay. Life is perfect. That's what om means. But how it means that?
Is it that every life has suffering, but through that suffering it still, it teaches you that you don't want suffering. and to observe how to get rid of that suffering. So it's like a...
Do you want me to tidy it up?
Yes.
Okay. Om means life is perfect. And the sound om is broken into four sounds. Ah. Ah, suffering. It's all flavor. You've got to put the action. Ah, suffering. That's clear, right? Ah, I burnt myself on the tea or the fire or the hot water, whatever. Ah, sound of suffering. Oh, that's where the that's where I keep creating suffering. Oh, understand where the suffering comes from. And then develop the wisdom to release the suffering. That's better. And then when I get rid of all the forms of suffering, no more noise, silence, content. All four sounds together explain the different stages life go through to develop and awaken. So suffering is our teacher. But we don't learn how to not have suffering. We learn through suffering to get rid of suffering. But suffering is the reason we actually pay attention to learn. If you never had suffering, you wouldn't want to learn anything. Would you be sitting here right now if you didn't have stress, didn't have suffering, if life was great? And that's why Buddha says don't become energy god, because energy god has so much joy and their ego gets so big that they don't feel like they need to learn anything. They have a whole universe lifetime of just joy. And so they think, I don't need to learn, life is great. But then the universe too has an end. And when that universe gets pulled into a black hole, they go with it. So they go from amazing suffering to so much loss. So suffering is our teacher. And the four sounds represent the different stages of life. Blind life, especially. Yeah.
You said every life are at different stages.
The different stages of life, yeah.
Different stages, yeah.
I don't know, maybe see if it would peck holes in it, but I think it's... gets the message across. We could probably go into deeper. I'll listen to this and see if I can say it any better. But om, we got one sound. Om. Does anyone have any questions about om? What does om mean?
Life is perfect.
There we go. Okay, and we do this when we bow om, because that circle, that cycle is perfect cycle, perfect circle. So suffering is our teacher. So we don't say suffering is bad because it makes us learn. Suffering is perfect, but we aren't at that level. So when we have suffering, we're like, this suffering sucks. When you later on get past it and it made you learn something, you're like, I'm glad I went through that suffering because I learned from it.
Why do you say the beginning and at the end are bound? For the circle, like that circle of life.
I think as a sound, it actually makes us concentrate in a special way. It's almost like life is perfect is the beginning, and then we bow, and then life is perfect at the end. But it also, it's a spiritual sound, and it's mantra. And does anyone know the difference between a mantra and a sutra? You know, the Heart Sutra we learn. Heart Sutra is philosophy explained that we read and learn. Mantra is a sound that we use to connect. Sometimes it has meaning, sometimes it doesn't. Like the Great Sun Buddha mantra, I know the mantra, but I asked Sifu, what does it mean? And he was like, yeah, it's the last Buddha you learn from. I don't understand it. Even if I did understand it, I probably wouldn't have the awareness to actually understand it and explain it. Only when we're that level, we will understand that mantra. But you use that mantra still to connect to that consciousness. So it's mantra is for connection, sutra is more for learning. And you can write down a mantra, you can write down a sutra, and you can sing a sutra, you can also sing a mantra. The difference being, one is a sound to connect, like a certain radio frequency, and one is wisdom to learn, sutras to learn. Okay, so we'll come back to that. We'll revisit that. Money. Can anyone explain money?
Eternal truth, what you observe through every angle, and that's the treasure.
That's the treasure?
Of life?
Of life. By learning eternal wisdom, you are aware of every angle. So that's the question.
It's pretty close. I'll give you that. Yeah. that which wise consciousness sees truly valuable in life is not materials. It is the perfect, complete, eternal wisdom to see life from every angle. That is more valuable than anything. You can have millions of dollars. You can have gold, bricks, and diamonds. But you're going to have to let go of your body, so you're going to have to let go of anything your body can connect to. But that eternal wisdom, if you develop the wisdom ability to see life from every angle, and that becomes a part of your being, a part of your ability, take that with you everywhere. So that is more valuable. But it's really hard for blind consciousness to see life that way. They value materials more. Their greed makes them naturally prioritize material rather than wisdom value. So, yep. The ability to see life from every angle, that wisdom, that complete perfect wisdom, is the treasure. The true treasure. The only real valuable treasure. Everything else is fake treasure, like fool's gold. You think it's valuable, and then when you actually have no use for it, doesn't matter how much money you have, how much gold you have, when you're sick, gold's useless. You can't enjoy it. When your body's broken, no amount of money is going to be useful. You can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy life anymore. But the wisdom to take care of your body, whoa, that's priceless. That's amazing. But people don't value that. Cool, new topic. Does anyone know Padme? Padme.
I know the word.
Okay.
Lotus.
Lotus. Padme means lotus? Lotus is in there.
That's all I remember, Lotus.
Oh, bell put hand up.
I don't know, but I'm just finishing Lotus.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Lotus system.
Purification.
Ooh, here we go. More buzzwords. I like it. So all our wisdom, like I said before, without that suffering, you wouldn't learn. None of us would learn. What would we learn? How often does your back get sore and that's when you go get a massage? Or you're sick and then you're like, I should release more tension. But when we have no problem, too busy having fun. I need to take care of my body. So that's part of it. We only look for the cure for suffering. We don't go on the front foot and look for wisdom before the suffering appears yet. We're still that blind. So lotus doesn't grow without that muddy dirt. So our own wisdom to purify grows because we don't want that suffering anymore. We get that wise. So we start observing and learning and paying attention more, right? So that builds up our defense system. But then how does sharing that? Do you guys know how a bodhisattva becomes a Buddha? Bodhisattva doesn't go to a space where there's nothing there and go, all right, this is my pure land and I'm going to make it bigger and bigger. No. They go into the blindness and they purify every life in that space until that space becomes pure. And when that space is pure and every life that is in that space is pure, then that's a pure land. All right? That's like going into the muddy dirt and from that muddy dirt, using that muddy dirt to grow that lotus. So it's not like Buddha and Bodhisattva sit and watch people on earth and go, when they're ready, we'll bring them here. No. Siddhartha Buddha came to earth. Hell Bodhisattva goes into hell. They go where the suffering is. And they use their lotus wisdom to keep themselves pure while going into that and sharing wisdom to help more lotuses grow. So the lotus system is both. It's the ability to stay pure yourself in all that blindness, and your own wisdom grows from your own blindness. But then it's also the wisdom to go back. Like a lotus will drop lotus seeds back into the muddy dirt, and from that muddy dirt will grow a new awakened consciousness. So Bodhisattva go to a space that's not pure and purify every life in it. And that's the lotus system, is to remain in that. You stay pure and you help other life go into the muddy dirt and come out pure. It's pretty cool, right? So that's why lotus is everywhere in Buddhism, because it represents not being afraid of blindness. That's our system, is to stay in society and learn to purify our consciousness. Monk system is to go and live in a temple and stay away from all the pollution. So they don't actually purify their own desire. They just kind of hold it and block it through mental discipline. But our system is, you have to learn to guide your own desire. You have to learn to guide your own chakra energy. That's why we train physical, because that's one of our chakras. So we're training Tai Chi to teach our subconscious to follow wisdom. We train our emotion. We train our thinking. We train our intuition. We train all our chakras. That's like, the muddy dirt is our chakra energy when it's blind, and we try and take control of it and guide it in towards wisdom. Does that make sense? It's a bit different to the monk system, which is block all the pollution and hopefully connect to Pure Land next lifetime, so I don't have to deal with it this lifetime. because they know they might not have the ability to handle it this lifetime. Whereas ours is like, no, I'm gonna stay in the blindness. I'm still going to have desire. I'm gonna do my best to purify it, not cause myself suffering. It's pretty cool. So our system is Lotus. Pardon?
That was Lotus System. Is that what Padme means?
Padme means Lotus Wisdom or Lotus System. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the two working together. Mm-hmm. So you don't run away from blindness and you don't hide from your own negative. Mm-hmm. You observe, okay, I have negative. And rather than running away from it or hiding from it or pretending it doesn't exist and acting like I'm wise, even though inside I'm blind, I actually embrace it and go, okay, that's what I need to change. That's what I need to purify. And then when I see other life with that, I don't run away from them and be like, no, don't come near me. Try and find people that are willing to learn and share and open heart develop together. And then we all develop together rather than hiding from everyone and being wise on my own in a cave somewhere. I couldn't do that anyway. That would feel crazy. Okay, so we've got Om, Mani, Padme. Om, life is perfect. Suffering is our teacher. And we learn from our suffering. Money is the true value in life, is wisdom to see life from every angle. Actually, it's the only real value. Everything else is fake value. And Padme is Lotus Wisdom, to go into where the blindness is, use Lotus Wisdom to clean it out, purify it, and create a beautiful lotus, pure lotus. What does Hom mean? Different to Om. It's Om Mani Padme Hom, H-U-M.
A consciousness that is able to remain in that first three?
Consciousness that has reached the first three. So someone who is aware life is perfect and understands all the different stages of suffering, is aware of life from every angle and aware that that is the most valuable wisdom, most valuable treasure, and understands Lotus Wisdom and can live in Lotus Wisdom. The consciousness that has reached all three of them, that's what Hom means. So Om Mani Padme Hom together means Buddha. All together, Om Mani Padme Hom is Buddha. It's an awareness ability to be able to live in all that. So cool. So next time you say Om Mani Padme Hom, you're saying Buddha's name. You're calling Buddha. And you're asking for Buddha to help and guide you. And you're also asking to connect to that level of consciousness. So yeah, put that in your heart when you say it. It has more flavor, more meaning. It's pretty cool.
Is each one like a step-by-step kind of thing? Like you develop an understanding of one first, and then money and then
I mean, when you look at it, Om and Padme, it's like muddy dirt is the suffering. So for the Lotus Wisdom to appear, it also has the suffering and the wisdom to get out of it and stay pure. And Om is the understanding that life is perfect, so you can learn from that suffering to become perfect. So they kind of match. And then the wisdom to see life from every angle, you'd need that to be able to... Do you know what I mean? So they're all there. They're just different stages. And then all together, they are like building blocks to become, to say, Buddha level awareness. I don't know if you could, one could exist, like you could, I guess, explain one without the other, but I wouldn't say they're building blocks as much as it's like four eternal hearts are like four wheels of a car rolling together. You can't just have one because, I think Buddha's awareness needs all four. I think Om Mani Padme Hom, all four go together. Otherwise they wouldn't put them all together. I've never heard Hum explained separately, or Padme explained separately, or Mani explained. I've just heard Om explained separately. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, but I don't think so. Good question, though. Any other questions?
Can we have a summary of the last one?
Oh, Om, Mani, Padme, Om together means Buddha.
Oh, right.
Hum means the consciousness who has reached Om, Mani, Padme. The consciousness that has reached Om Mani Padme, whoever's reached that, that's what all of it together means, Buddha. Because Buddha has reached Om Mani Padme. And Hom is the title for anyone who has reached all three. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not really. Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
So where does a Bodhisattva sit?
Bodhisattva is aware of all that, but their lotus wisdom isn't yet connected to every life. They're still learning to connect to certain life system. So they might have perfect wisdom to teach dragons, but they can't connect to humans yet. They don't have that wisdom built up yet. So for me to teach you, as another guy who's probably... Me and you can talk martial art. It's one level of wisdom, because I can say to you, have you ever been hit? Yeah, cool. That didn't feel nice. How would you stand in a fight? Cool. I asked Olive, I was like, show me how you'd stand in a fight. And he just stood there like... I was like, you've never been in a fight, have you? He was like, no.
But he was in the army,
yeah. But they, yeah, but he's from Sweden, man. Like, they, like, I don't know about you, but I got my first, the first time I got knocked and like punched, I was like, whoa, I need to learn how to fight. Like, that fear made me want to learn. Olaf never had that. So I play airman with him, and he just never thought of how he would protect himself. He just never had to. I was like, wow, we've had different upbringings. Like, so that level of wisdom to share it with you, we're a little bit more similar from that upbringing. But someone who's come across the ocean, different. So I need a totally different style of wisdom to teach Olaf. Does that make sense? Mm. So you can imagine that's human to human still. Human male to human male still. Can you imagine dragon wisdom compared to human wisdom? Totally different life system. Your wisdom to teach needs to be like that same unlimited perfect wisdom in a totally different direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Bodhisattva are still building the unlimited level of convenient wisdom, but Buddha has already reached that. Buddha is a perfect teacher already. Mm-hmm. Hum means the consciousness who has already reached the first three levels. So Om, Mani and Padmi, when a consciousness has reached all that, that's what Hum refers to. But if they haven't reached it yet, they're not Buddha. So Om Mani Padme Hum means Buddha. Does that clear it up? Still confusing?
It's like, why is different but it's the same?
Pardon?
It's like, different but the same? I don't know.
What?
Maybe I'm just overthinking it.
No, it's...
because
it's
complicated. Yeah, because it's like, Hum means the consciousness that has reached all three levels, but the consciousness that has reached all three levels is Buddha.
Well, are you thinking, why can't you just say Hum instead of saying Om Mani Padme Hum? Because Hum already means someone who's reached Om Mani Padme.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So if I don't say Om Mani Padme, Hum means the consciousness that has reached an ability, but it doesn't say what ability.
Okay.
But Hum after Om Mani Padme means the consciousness that has reached Om Mani Padme. They've reached those three. So all together, Om Mani Padme Hum means Buddha. Make sense? Good question. We got that. Yeah, good, good work. No. Oh, question.
Om Mani Padme Hum is a mantra?
Yep.
Or a sutra?
Mantra. It's a mantra. And it has a lot of meaning behind each word. I think all mantras would have meaning. It's just whether we have the ability to understand them. I don't know. But remember, Siddhartha Buddha came to Earth and taught Buddhism to humans, for humans, for the purpose of helping us release suffering. So a lot of the wisdom he taught was conveniently explained for our level. And Om Mani Padme Hum was the mantra he taught. And so he would have explained it. He would have brought wisdom that we were ready to connect to for that purpose. So, but not all mantras are like that. Some are just sounds. I'm trying to remember the ones that are just sounds. Like, I think Dragon Buddha's mantra... I don't remember. I remember hearing the wheels, but I didn't hear the actual mantra, the explanation of the mantra, but that's quite complicated. And Medicine Buddha's mantra as well, I don't know the meaning to it, but it's also just a sound to help you connect to that Buddha, I think. Because Observing Life Sound Bodhisattva has a mantra that, according to the sutra that explains that mantra, if you have the ability to say it 108 times with a sincere heart, that will unlock an ability for you to be a Bodhisattva straight away, just by connecting to that mantra. But their definition of sincere heart and ours are... like, does anyone know what sincere heart means? The definition of sincere heart? Sincere heart is when you can unite all your consciousness, one heart, one intention. That's true sincere heart. So intention, thinking, speaking, action, all for that intention, that purpose. Desire, passion, physical, emotion, thinking, intuition, all united for that. For us, that's quite hard. We might be sitting here thinking, this is really important stuff, and my stomach's like, so I start thinking about food. In one level, at this end of the spectrum, that is not sincere, because my desire for food is becoming a little bit fighting for my awareness. So instead of listening and talking philosophy like purely, I'm now thinking about the burrito I may or may not get after class, right? So my awareness, you can't say, is 100% concentrated. It's now burrito, philosophy, my hip tension. You know, our awareness is by definition in contradiction. That's what makes us what's called blind, or still a combination life form. Our awareness is still scattered. And part of martial art is to teach us to at least in one moment concentrate on my center, detailing my fingers, gravity. I can at least for a moment, 15 minutes, connect to that. I might be thinking the whole time like, I'm not doing it, or it's not good enough, or I'm not as good as this person or that person, or this video better look awesome. You know, but at least I've got something to train and practice. If you've ever seen Sifu do really crazy like martial art, he has no thinking about anything. He's just feeling. It's all intuition, feeling his moves. So that's another level. And that's why his detail and his awareness can be so free. And we're trying to learn that. But for our level, when you're sitting in class and your mind wanders and you pay attention, you go, well, I'm thinking about that. Our level is to just bring it back. That's sincere heart for our level. And when you're bowing as well, you'll be bowing and you'll be like repeating what the person's saying, but your mind will float off onto the events of the day or what you're doing next or tomorrow or an argument you had, whatever, nonsense. It's to recognize that is nonsense and bring my awareness back to this moment. That is sincere heart at our level. And that's already quite hard. So to be able to sit here and listen to this for an hour, it's hard, right? It's not that easy. But on the spectrum, when Siddhartha Buddha taught on earth, they had to beg for food in the morning. They weren't allowed to have a job. Because we can be like, I can't come to class this week, I've got work. You know, or I'm away on holiday. But back at the time when Siddhartha Buddha taught, they were only allowed to eat what they got put in their begging bowl in the morning. So they would beg up until midday, whatever they got, they ate that, and then they went and they learnt. And they pay attention, study, train, practice meditation, 8 hours, and they do that every day. And they have no worldly possessions, they wear robes that were given to them. Spectrum. And when you look at like sincere heart, Bodhidharma went and sat in a cave until a sincere student arrived. And one guy turned up and said, I'm a sincere student. Bodhidharma said, nah, you're not sincere. So he sat there for 3 days and no eat, no drink, nothing. Just sat there waiting. I think he may have been in meditation or bowing to prove he was sincere. And Bodhidharma came out and said, I'm never going to teach you, you're not sincere enough. And walked back into the cave and the student went, you think I'm not sincere? I am so sincere. Sunk. Cut his arm off to prove how sincere he was. And Bodhidharma came out and went, far out, you are sincere. Bandaged him up and taught him energy control because he saw that sincere heart was there and that sincere heart can learn.
It's extreme.
Yeah, it's super extreme. But spectrum. The spectrum. But at our level, there are certain things we expect as sincere. If someone tells you that's out of harmony, don't do that anymore. Part of sincere is you do your best to change that character. Something like speaking discipline, we all practice not speaking bad language, especially in the dojo or in front of each other. We do our best, you know, and we try and improve, we try and learn, try and be respectful of each other. There's a level of sincere that appears. If you don't at least try to match those new levels, it'll weed itself out, you know, people will leave. And with Sifu, it was you got to rock up to class on Friday and Sunday and you got to train Tai Chi. Sincere was to do your best to match that discipline. And if you don't match it, there's the door. So we have our own level. But our world's quite crazy now. There's a lot of crazy information and we've got a lot of crazy influence. Our family, our work. It's not like you can't live and beg in Sydney. It probably wouldn't work. You'd struggle. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to give it a crack. I don't think it would be... I wouldn't live the life I'm accustomed to. But so the test is now we have jobs and we earn money. And what we do with that money indicates whether we're sincere or not. So you might have... Say you got $100. You say, oh, I can't afford something. It's $20. I can't afford it. But if then with your $100, you go out and you buy jewelry and spend it on alcohol, you know, you can start looking at your own life and go, that's not really sincere. Like, I had $100 and I didn't want to spend 20% of it on learning philosophy, and I was happy to spend 50% of it on alcohol that lasts about 3 hours and is bad for me. You judge yourself. Is that sincere or not? Yeah. So, yeah, sincere is a interesting word, and we all have to, without Sifu here, we all have to be a little bit of our own teacher, observe for ourselves. So when you sit there trying to justify what you spent your money on, yeah, you're not that sincere. But if you can safely go, no, I needed to do that, and your heart's okay with it, and it's rested, that's only you can really make that decision, and only you can really judge yourself. No one else can, because no one else knows what your life situation is except you. Be aware that your ego will trick you and be like, mine does it all the time. Mine will be like, you can't afford that this week. And I'll be like, you were just looking at international flights 3 days ago. Don't tell me you can't afford that. And I'll be like, I'll go. Cool. Any questions before we wrap up? That's cool. Did a lot. Nice. Well done.